When Paul asked the Corinthian believers if he should come to them with a stick or with love in a spirit of gentleness, 1 Corinthians 4:21, how did he expect to find the right answer? Welcome to The Good Word. We continue our series on the fruit of the Spirit, and today we are talking about meekness, gentleness. My conversation partners, again, are fellow teachers at Walla Walla University School of Theology, Helene Bauer and Bruce Johansson. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks, Eldon.
So, let's get practical here. Paul asked these people, do you want the heavy hand or the gentle one? Which do you want? Now, we always face that choice when we're dealing with difficult situations. How do you know which one to choose?
Well, I think he's asking them the question because it depends on their response. We talked earlier about children, dealing with children. And a lot of times, depending on if you're disciplining and there's a problem with your child, how you respond, whether it's with a stick or with a spirit of gentleness, depends on what their attitude is. Do they recognize what the error has been, and are they sorry for it, or do they need a little more sorrow being produced?
I can remember as a kid in Sabbath school where we were being admonished by the gentle Jesus, meek and mild picture. And I would sit there secretly and say, you have not read the cleansing of the temple.
You know, John Pauline says he really likes the Gospel of John because Jesus is such a fiery person there. He's not this gentle Jesus. But the amazing thing about that cleansing of the temple, especially in Matthew, and I'm just intrigued by this. The evil people fled, and the children came running.
The children come in. Yes, that's the kind of meekness you like.
I would give anything to have that kind of anger. Usually the kids are the first ones to head for the hills.
Yes.
You see? But somehow Jesus got that message. He's got it right. Okay, how do you make that decision? Response of the kids? Mm-hmm. Now, will some kids consistently need more of a heavy hand?
I think so.
We have a phrase that we bandy around a lot today. It's called tough love. And I think meekness doesn't mean that you can't be, you cannot be disciplinary. I've hated the idea that meekness somehow oozes the meaning of weakness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't you suppose because I wanted to talk about this, but let's do it right here. In the Sermon on the Mount, you have blessed are the meek.
Yeah.
And they'll inherit the earth. Mm-hmm. But then you have that story of going the second mile and turning the other cheek, which gives the impression, unless you work with it carefully, that this is a kind of a,
I'm the underdog, I accept it. Yeah.
I think the combination of those being in the same chapter has given us this picture that Christians are just pushovers, and don't stand up for their own life.
It takes a powerfully meek person to put up with a lot of suffering.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, the first mile, to use the biblical, is required.
Is required. The second one is voluntary.
Voluntary. It and takes a strong person
to be able to do that.
But doesn't it also show that that person then is saying, you're not in control of me. I am still in control, in a sense, because... And so I think it says something about their inner strength.
Yeah. You mentioned one of the Beatitudes, blessed are the meek.
Yes.
And it's interesting that if you go through the Beatitudes, and it doesn't say happy are the meek, it's blessed are the meek.
Blessed.
Mm-hmm. I don't like the happy translation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what's the difference between blessed and happy?
Blessed comes from God. Happy is just a feeling.
Okay.
That's what I think.
Okay.
Yeah, blessing comes from God. It's something we receive. If you try to figure out the opposites in that whole series, blessed are the peacemakers. What would be the opposite of a peacemaker? A warmonger.
Yeah.
And if you take meekness, what would be the opposite of a meek person? To me, the word that suggests itself to me is arrogance.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
And then you have this promise afterward, they will inherit the earth. When you look at the world today, it is always being subjected in some way by arrogant people.
Mm-hmm.
People who love power, people who think they're better, they're more powerful, they're stronger, they have, you know, the wherewithal. And meekness has kind of an enduring quality to it.
You know, Bruce, the German equivalent of the Good News Bible, TEV, when it comes to blessed are the meek, they say, blessed are those who have refused to use power.
Ah, I like that.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
They've refused, and they'll inherit the earth.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They will not be manipulative. Yeah.
Another definition I heard are those who are submissive to the will of God.
Hmm.
Yes. I like that. Yeah.
Arrogant people can't do that.
Mm-mm.
You see?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So if we have meekness now, how do you like the word that the NRSV uses here? Instead of meekness, it uses gentleness. Do you think that is, does that have enough punch to it, or would you come up with a different one if you were doing your
both,
own print?
Both words tend to be, from a worldly perspective, tend to be looked upon as weak,
mm-hmm.
indications of weakness.
Okay.
But I think that's part of the irony and part of the paradox of the gospel. In an upside-down kingdom, where the powerful on the earthly side want to misuse and abuse power, the real power comes from the other side. I think our Gospels very much, I know my one of my former colleagues here at Walla Walla, Ernie Bercy, dealt with the Gospel of Mark. And I think it's in Matthew too. It's a critique of human power.
Mm-hmm.
These Gospels really, the reign of God stands in opposition to the reign of the human heart.
So would you let gentleness stay there then?
Yeah, I think gentleness is good.
Your term too, Bruce, an upside down kingdom.
Yes.
Because everything is the opposite of what we would lay the groundwork for if we were making a kingdom. And I do find it interesting in chapter 6 of Galatians where Paul says, you know, if there's a transgression that you have, you know, have, then you need to restore that person in a spirit of gentleness.
Of gentleness.
And so he's bringing that to an example. And obviously the people who were reading this letter probably knew that there was somebody in the congregation that needed to do that.
But it's interesting that it is not avoiding confrontation.
That's right.
You restore them, but in a spirit of gentleness.
In a spirit of gentleness.
Yeah.
And that is, of course, in comparison to back here where they're biting each other and devouring one another.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
See, all that biting and devouring is exclusive.
Yeah.
Whereas gentleness is inclusive. It's, you know, all of these come back to grace.
Yeah. Yeah.
They come back to grace. You include people when you are gentle with them. You don't overlook their sins.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
You
call them to account, but it's done in an inclusive way.
And I think this restore word here, Bruce, you can correct me on that, but isn't that the same word that is used when the fishermen mended their nets so they could be useful again? So you're restoring this person so that they can be useful to the body again.
Yes.
And that's a beautiful thought.
That is a beautiful thought. I like that.
Now, there is the practical side of things, and I want to make sure that we have time to deal with this, because when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, I think for many people, especially if they're starting on the way of walking with Christ, they see all of these things that they want to become, and they're not there yet.
Mm.
And it could be so discouraging. And in fact, I think one of the quotations from Ellen White that is haunted the Adventist community in an inappropriate way, where she says, when the character of Christ is perfectly reproduced in his people, then he will come. If we take that on an individual basis, it is deadly.
Mm-hmm.
Either because of arrogance, say, I've got it done, or if you've got a long ways to go,
discouragement.
You're
only when you take it in the corporate sense, I think, is you have a possibility. When the character of Christ, so you look at a community of people and said, that person's strengths complements this person's weakness, and you work together, see, then I think that has a much better, much healthier way of dealing with it. But what do we do to increase the element of meekness or gentleness? What is some practical stuff that we could suggest here? Stories from Scripture, or again, what have you found that works with you, with your family, with your colleagues, with your students? Somebody says, I would just like to have more. I would like to be more gentle.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's called fruit for the reason that it grows slowly You know, I think we can get very discouraged if we think it's a gift and we'll wake up one morning and have the gift of gentleness. And then we get up and lose it, and we think, oh, I must not be a Christian in that. But I love the term fruit because, and fruit, you know, as you watch a fruit tree or, Alden, your tomatoes, you know, you go out there and first you see the little blossom and then, you know, this little tiny green tomato. Now, it's immature, but it's there. And we talked in an earlier session about imperfect fruit, and I would rather call it immature fruit than imperfect fruit, I think, because God is still nurturing it, and it's still there. And but it doesn't help it grow any to go out and check it every single day either. It grow.
I think there's a helpful thing, and of course, I'm a bit of a diseased person here when it comes to my own garden, because, you know, I kind of personify the things that grow in my garden, and I hate to throw anything away because it will feel bad, you know, that type of thing. But if I think of, you know, what I do, if I have a tomato with a bad spot on it, I'll cut the bad spot off, but I'll save as much as I can. And I like to think of God doing the same thing, because very rarely do you have an absolutely perfect fruit.
Right.
But I'm still very much interested in helping people grow as Christians so that they can see that the Lord is at work in their lives and see progress, but not pushing them so hard that they actually become discouraged. So do you have any suggestions that we could...
I love what Aline has said here about fruit. And, you know, all of these gifts are interconnected. You need patience. I think you dealt with in an earlier lesson here.
Yeah.
You know, the whole subject of practice, we tend to have doctrinal focuses and belief focuses, but the idea of practice, I don't think we have addressed enough in our Christian walk. There are different Christian groups that have done that. But, you know, by practicing it one time strengthens you for the next time. And it's the growth process. But you have to be intentional about it. You have to be humble enough to recognize that you've got this problem, and then you need to practice it. And it's small steps, and each step strengthens you for the next one. And it's a gift.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it when you compare many other religious ways of going about, where it's all up to you. You have the fruit of the Spirit. It's a gift of God. At the same time, you have to put it into action.
And there's also, is it called the prayer of exam, that often you,
you
know, like in the evening when you go to bed, you can ask yourself, God, show me the ways that I did exhibit the fruits of the Spirit today.
Yeah.
But then I also want you to show me the ways where I didn't.
Yes.
You know, make me aware. And maybe if that became
practical
more of a practice.
Realism. Yes.
You know, because he longs for us to have them. And I think he will direct us in that way.
Do you know, in some ways, the people are so different here. I like to know where I've gone astray so I can improve it. I love a challenge. I think of my former colleagues here, who was an excellent teacher. When he would get course evaluations, he would see the one that was marked out. It would just be... And I think we have to be very careful, because people will respond in different ways. I love a challenge. They help me. Others will. Our time is almost up for today. I thank Bruce and Aline for their help with us. Next week, we're going to talk about self-control. My thanks to Michael White, our program engineer, and all of you for listening in, for the good work. I'm Alden Thompson. Some of you may want to have the opportunity to listen to the good word again. You can do that on the Positive Life Radio website. Go to plr.org. Under Programs, you'll find Good Word. If you want to order a CD, there's also information there as to how you might get your own copy of this, if you really are excited about hearing it again and again and again.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.